What's up, Disrupt Nation? My name is Tony Delgado, and today I have a really special guest, Jay Flow. Jay, thank you so much for being on the show, my friend.
Thank you so much. Very grateful and honored to be here.
For the people in our audience that don't know, who is Jay Flow?
Jay Flow is my chosen name. James is the name that I was born into. And so what I do is I teach people to become enlightened millennials, because from where I come from, there's so much of my life that was focused on building abundance, because from a very young age, I saw how my mom was working two jobs. I saw how when we were coming to America, the four of us to a room. So as a young kid, the languaging that I had was to save my parents by becoming rich and helping them was the language. And so what I do now is I teach people about that abundance mindset, that conversation of what it is to be an enlightened millennial and what it means. Like, if you want to be abundant, don't you also want to be happy? Don't you also want to have more compassion, more joy, more happiness in the world and more contribution, right? And so it's this idea of balanced abundance, and that's what I'm out creating.
That's incredible. So today you're an author, you have number one podcast, you have generated millions of dollars in the real estate industry, but it didn't always start out that way. You came to the United States as an immigrant at 5 years old. And like you said, your passion and your mission in life was to uplift your family and create a legacy for your family and quote unquote save them, right?
Yeah.
What was that pivotal moment in your life where you went from being a child to then being the breadwinner or the fighter and the hero in your own story?
I remember this moment. It was when I was 5 years old when we moved to America. I couldn't really understand why. Right? I couldn't understand why I was moving to this new country. I didn't understand the American dream that my parents had envisioned for us. But when we got here, I remember there was this moment where I overheard my parents arguing in the bed and the door was closed. And I remember just like cracking it just a bit open so I could hear what's going on. And they were arguing about me. So I remember I wanted it to stop. I felt so stressed out. I felt so sad, angry. I was just like, had all these emotions. I remember running to my room and I slammed the door and I laid against that door and I just started breaking down and crying. It's like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And I thought in my five-year-old self, I was like, I got it. I know the solution. It's to create money and help save my parents. And that's when that moment of, okay, how do I do that? How do I make enough money so my parents don't have to argue or so that we can settle into this new environment? And that's when I made a promise to myself, okay, I'm going to create abundance. I'm going to save my parents. And that's when that moment, without knowing that moment of the hero's journey, because I had that on my back for most of my life, like this unconscious need for, okay, how do I start from nothing? How do I create that? And then how do I get more? How do I build more without even realizing that over the years, consciously, I may have forgot about that moment, but unconsciously, that's where that moment came from. That inner child, if you were, that's, okay, how can I help? Is, okay, I'm going to go chase this thing or I'm going to go create abundance from this to save them. That was the moment that really helped define the beginning of my journey, if you will.
Yeah, because money's just a tool, right? And I hate it when people say money's the root of all evil, right? Because for you, money is this tool that my parents are fighting because they don't have money. So whatever this thing is called money, right? How old were you at the time?
5 years old.
5 years old, right? So whatever this thing is called money, I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to get as much of it as possible so that my family cannot fight anymore.
Yeah, it was witnessing that pain and like struggle of seeing my mom work two jobs and just as a kid feeling powerless and then deciding, like making a decision, okay, what is this thing and how do I go accumulate it? How do I go help my parents with it?
And so you have this aha moment when you're a child and then you go into adolescence and where does that take you in your financial journey?
So I remember just studying a lot as a kid about like biographies, like what makes this person like stand out beyond the rest, like looking for patterns. So I studied a lot of biography when I was growing up. And I did the things like when I was in Boy Scouts, I was selling like Boy Scout cookies and okay, how do I go door knock or how do I talk to friends? How to make this a success? So I just started building those muscles from a very early on age of looking at other people who have done it before me, right? And so what that culminated in was essentially in college. As a student, I'm going to school, I'm going to college, and you pay like $150 for these books. And then you sell them back to the bookstore for $10. I don't know if this ever happened to you. And I remember thinking, there's something off here, right? And so what I did was I figured out a way to arbitrage, right? Because I didn't have a lot of money. I started with $800 in my mom's garage, right? And so I figured out a way to find the different markets, right? So for example, people would say on Amazon, most people know Amazon. They don't know that at the beginning that there was like 10, 12 different other independent bookstores. So sometimes there'll be discrepancies within the market. So for example, like I could buy Harry Potter for $35 and I could sell it for $35. And so when someone bought it from me, then I would go buy it on a credit card from someone else for $22 and then have them ship it as a gift to them. And so I made that arbitrage, that balance.
And it's like a drop shipping arbitrage on books.
Exactly. Yeah. Early adopt. It's like very early. This is way back when. And another thing I did was I went to the bookstore and I saw all the books that were on discount. I sat there with my laptop. And again, this is very early. So I remember like just coding in like the different BN behind and then listing them. And then once they sold, then I went to go buy it on a credit card, get net 30 days. And then I was able to sell them at a markup for a profit. And so opportunities always exist. It's just, where do you look for them? So as a student, I had a lot of time. So I was really trading time of, okay, how do I leverage and how do I sell these books to make a profit? And that was like one of the key moments of entrepreneurship, if you will, for me.
So you've now interviewed over 40 entrepreneurs on your show. Out of all the entrepreneurs that you've interviewed, who was your favorite and what do you think that you've learned from interacting with all these hyper-successful, multimillionaire, inspirational people?
I would say one of my favorites, definitely one of my mentors, Mark Strome. And so I met Mark, and he just really opened my eyes to what is possible, right? He had a hedge fund in the 80s that had outperformed Buffett at one point. He has this incredible life story. And so first one where it's always the extra special one because of my relationship with him and how much he's taught me over the years, how much I've learned from observing him over the years. And so when I met Mark, it was just really fascinating because it's like being able to sit next to Mark Cuban and be able to look at deal flow because I started helping him look at opportunities. And so I got to learn a lot. And I got to see different opportunities that came about. And I get to be able to ask any question I want from people much older, much more successful, much more experienced than me, and then see what ended up he would invest in or why did he not invest in this. And so I was a fan of Shark Tank growing up. And then still to this day, like I love looking at how they look at opportunities, right? One of them has a different perspective. So coming back to Mark, that experience was so invaluable in my growth as an entrepreneur and then an investor and that pivot, right? And so Mark, he's almost like a father to me. And so we have a very close relationship. So I would say that's definitely one of my favorites.
What do you think is holding people back, most people, the average person, right? Not the super woke, attended a million conferences and took a million courses, the average person that's walking down the street that might be watching this show for the first time, what do you think is holding them back from attracting abundance to their life?
I would say that there are, one thing is to realize that we are all on our own hero's journey. So what happens at times is that we are sold this idea, this belief, and we may not even be aware of consciously where that came from. And so that's why there's a saying about unlearning what you've learned growing up, right? Because at times we're sold this belief or this idea that only when I become this, then I'll be happy, right? And then this chase for the need for more, this chase. So one is definitely awareness, right? Just imagine, let's say this is the Matrix and this is a game. What game are you at times? We're not even aware because we've been living life at times unconscious. But have you ever had that moment where you had a breakthrough or something changes where you burst through some past perception, and once you break through, everything changes. There are moments in life when that happens. At times, it comes from frustration or suffering or some kind of pain or uncomfortableness. But getting comfortable with the uncomfortable is one of the ways to break through those limiting beliefs. And where does the limiting belief come from? There's something that it's even yours. At times, people, when they're growing up, they have these limiting beliefs placed on them by, let's say, their parents, or they didn't even know, oh, this is how my father was. But the meaning that they give it impacts the perception of how they, what meaning they derive from. And my own personal journey, just to share, it's really key and important just to be aware of, oh, looking back, reflection of when were those moments of change.
So for you, when you were younger, you had this moment where your parents are arguing over money, and then you made it mean, I need to save them, right? And you made it mean, maybe I need to save the world, right? And then that's led you to where you are in your life now, where you've devoted a lot of your life to contribution. So let's talk a little bit about what you're doing back home and the school that you're building.
So I was at Date with Destiny, Tony Robbins, and I remember I was sharing with Sage, Tony's wife, and I was expressing gratitude to the impact and change that they're making out in the world. And I'll never forget this. There's a moment she shared with me, like, she just stopped and she shared, follow your intuition. And right when she said that, Tony's event is just so life-changing. And during that week, you write down goals and outcomes and you get in that flow of, what do you want to create? If you could do anything you want, what do you want to create? And I remember one of the outcomes is to co-create a school. And so right when she said intuition, as she finished that word, the school just popped up in my mind, following my intuition. And so I started sharing with people, just, okay, this is my outcome. I want to create a school. Who do you know that's created a school? Who else has created a school? And people started introducing me and connecting me with other people who are out there with a contribution mindset and serving, right? And so a buddy of mine introduced me to someone who's already built a school. And so that's how the Philippines came about, right? I was originally born in Taiwan. And so at times people ask me, oh, are you building the school in the Philippines because that's where you're from? It was actually me listening to the signs of the universe, being called to just serve. And so I remember us going out into the Philippines, and we had to go, and it was like the Bulacan, which is like a very rural area where kids have to walk like 5 to go to a school, so they don't. And so I remember going into the mountainside, a dozen guys in a bag of motorcycles, and I remember driving past like military checkpoints, and I was like, what did I get myself into? Follow the... And just being really present to, you know, how much the world needs that contribution, that service from other, how we can co-elevate each other. And so that's where the inspiration came from. And we've been at this for quite some time. With COVID, there were some setbacks, but we just completed our first school and we're dedicating it to my grandmother. She's 98 years old and she's one of the first to teach me about patience and kindness. And so I just wanted to do something to honor her and also be able to just make an impact, right? Because she shared this with me and it really inspired me to share this with you, right? At the end of the day, what does money mean to you? Typically, it magnifies who you are. If you're generous, you are able to contribute even. And from my personal journey, I had this limiting belief that only when I get to some big number, then I'll be able to build a school. Versus follow the intuition, I found someone who already built one, and okay, what does that look like? And then figuring out the how. The why is always more important than the how. Because again, when you're getting into the how, the brain will be like, oh, it's COVID. There's so many different things going on. It's going to be difficult. But if your why, your intention, your leverage, your purpose is so clear, then you will be able to overcome different challenges, right? Because it's about tapping into that why. And so the why of the Philippines actually just came about by following the signs of the universe. And we just finished it. I'm so grateful for all the people who came together to co-create this, because we definitely had heroes locally there that helped spearhead this, and also in co-creation with another nonprofit, Ira John Foundation, to bring this.
That's incredible, man. I love that. And that's really what made me resonate a lot with you, I think, is that shared mission. That's why we came down here to Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria. And we had a really big why. And we were like, okay, we need to build a school. We need to bring education to Puerto Rico. And we had the why was big, but the how really far from being clear and visible. I've never ran a school before. I've never had education. I was actually, it's interesting, the word disrupt, when I came up with the name, my mom was like, oh yeah, you were really disruptive in school. That was all your teachers were like, yeah, he's being too disruptive. Always disrupting class. But the how figured itself out, and the how manifested itself. And like you said, by partnering with other organizations down here in Puerto Rico, Peloto 151 was gracious enough to let us use their spacing, their co-working space before COVID. Now with COVID, we've reinvented ourselves and really doubled down on online learning. And that's enabled us to cast our net even wider and say, okay, we're not just taking Puerto Rico, we're going to take all of Latin America, the whole 400 million people that speak Spanish around the world. But again, you can have money, fame, success, notoriety, all these things. But if you're not giving back, then what's it all worth? And what kind of legacy are you leaving to your family, to your community? What are you going to be remembered for after you're gone? I love what you're doing in the Philippines, and I think that's much needed. You could go back in time to the 18-year-old version of yourself and give yourself any piece of advice in a time machine. What would you tell yourself?
As you asked that, the first thing that popped up was trusting the intuition. Trusting in myself, because as a prior achiever, so hard on myself. I was would judge myself on what could I do better? What could I do better? What could I do better? And there's a part about being able to tune in to who you are and to your essence and to trust and cultivate that intuition that is something that I would definitely share with my 18-year-old self, because I just had the mindset, I'm just going to power through whatever. People are working 80 hours, I'll work 100 hours. And while there's definitely that upside to like putting in the work, doing that, putting in the efforts, leading with that energy, if I just trusted my intuition earlier on, knowing all that I know, then I wouldn't have sought externally validation outside of myself in order to be sure what I already know, right? And so there's this really cool way to tune in to yourself. Meditation, like starting to meditate at a much earlier age, we're just like focused on breathing and just focused on being present, going inward, is such an important key. Like the inside game, right? People look at the outside game. You ever see someone walk down the street and you're like, oh, that person, they work out. What about the inside? That's something that I wasn't as attuned to as an 18-year-old. I was just thinking, okay, put in the work and how can I just outwork everyone, or how can I just do that? But I would have saved myself time and energy if I learned to work smarter, right? And that's where, when I read The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, that was such a game changer for me, because I remember there was this one moment I was in the warehouse. It was like a holiday and it was like midnight and there's just that lone light there. And I was just grinding it out. My back was hurting. I'd put in so many hours. And I remember reading that book. I was like, huh, this is very interesting. Like working smarter. I definitely didn't work 4 hours a week after that. However, there was something that just helped break through a limiting belief. Just the throwing endless hours at something will yield the best results. And so that book, Tim Ferriss, in fact, he helped me open up in terms of this shift in perspective. Like, oh, somebody could work 4 hours a week and be making $50,000 a week by figuring out a better way to add value to people. Huh, I haven't thought about that. Let me explore that. So that would be another thing that I would like to.
Yeah, that's the one thing with content creators like Gary Vee, who I'm a big fan of, yes. But he preaches hustle, work harder. You're not working hard enough. Go on the weekends and buy baseball cards and sell them. And while, yes, if you're 12 years old and that is how you're going to get started, like you got started right with e-commerce and stuff on eBay and Amazon, it's a great way to get started. If you're trying to scale a business, sometimes selling the baseball cards, burning yourself out and trying to work 100 or 150 hours a week when you're not seeing your family enough, and you're not spending enough time to recharge your batteries, can be counterproductive. And the other thing that I think is really crucial is to reward yourself for all of the work.
Yes.
Because if you're doing all of this work and you're burning yourself out and you don't treat yourself to anything nice, then you're not going to want to work anymore. You're actually going to get a little bit discouraged because you're like, why am I working so hard if I can't spend time with my wife? Why am I working so hard if I can't drive a nice car? Why am I working so hard if I'm still sitting in the back of the plane flying coach? So there's something to be said for rewarding the fruits of your labor. And because you as a human, you have to negotiate with yourself. You're not just one human being. You are a very multifaceted, borderline schizophrenic. Most people that I've met in the world, they have at least two personalities, if not three. And so you have to negotiate with yourself and say, you know what? You have an angel and a devil, right? Is the cartoon version of this. You have a part of you that just wants to be a kid and just wants to play and hang out and whatever that is. And that's a part of everyone, right? I think left to their own devices, many people would just go to the beach every day, especially if you live here in Puerto Rico where it's beautiful, right? And they wouldn't get any work done, right? And then you have another part of you that has ambition, that has drive, that wants to work, that wants to create. So you have to create a balance between those two parts of your ego so that this person that is driven and is motivated continues to be motivated. This person who is childlike and doesn't want to hang out doesn't completely take over your life, right? So you get zero work done. And so you have to create that balance between yourself. And I think one of the ways to do that is to, number one, reward yourself. And then number two, do what you're doing. And what we're talking about is giving back to others. You can accumulate and accumulate so much wealth, but at a certain point, more money is not necessarily going to change your quality of life or your quality of living, unless you then turn your focus to impacting others, right?
100%. Yeah, I really love and I'm grateful you brought that up because the different identities that we have in ourselves, I downloaded something called the 7 identities, right? And so I believe that we have different identities within us, right? One of them being that inner child / artist, right? And then there's the monarch, right? The monarch within us, that leader within us. There's the warrior, who is that like that doer that takes action, right? That you can tap into for more strength. There is the healer, where if you're out there working 100 hours and even you're creating a lot of abundance, if you don't pay attention to your health or your vitality, it's not going to be long term. It's going to be short lived. And there's also the healer, the warrior, the monarch, the inner child, and the architect, the entrepreneur. That's the part within you that goes out and create. And of course, there's that lover within us, right? That unconditional love that we share with ourselves and with others. And last but not least, there is also the healer, lover, architect, monarch, inner child, warrior, and the wisdom within us, the sage. That's the big picture. That is the point to step back and look at the whole picture. Have you ever get caught up in like, sometimes people we get caught up in the rat race. Okay, let's warriors, let's do versus zooming out and looking, oh, we can actually pivot and go here and save ourselves 100. So those are I've downloaded this in my journey, and there's great power in being able to step into, okay, I'm going to step into my inner child right now, my artist, and just create without judgment and just have fun and just flow. I'm just going to dance like there's no tomorrow. Right? And there's great power then putting on the hat of the architect. All right, how do I grow this business? All right, when I'm looking at investment, what am I looking for? I'm approaching it with a contrarian mindset. What could go wrong? And not just hoping everything will pan out and turn. There's great power in stepping into those identity. And I believe that when you find balance within all 7 identity is when you unlock your human potential. And you can live, as in Jerry Maguire, the Quan. Like you can have it all. You don't have to sacrifice health just to get ahead in business. You don't have to sacrifice relationships just to get ahead in business, right? It's actually finding that balance and flow, going with that congruency that you unlock your human potential. You can live a life, an extraordinary life, being you. Again, there's a very important distinction of this person has this. Oh, I hope, like from the outside, I hope to one day be like them, versus owning your light, owning who you are and taking ownership of your essence. I think it's such an important thing. So I'm very grateful you brought that up about the different identities, because I truly believe that you can step into that. And when you step into those different identities is when you're creating, let's say, different outcomes. Like the warriors, okay, I'm going to go take action on that next business, or I'm going to take action on and read the next five books and however. And what you mentioned about celebrating, that is so important as part of the abundance mindset that I share with people, right? There's a difference of you being pulled to something and you trying to force your way through. And so this celebration of, okay, putting that as part of the plan, right? Rewarding yourself, right? And whatever that is, right? It could even be going to take a weekend trip, all right? And into the nature, into the wilderness. It doesn't just have to be things, or it could be whatever speaks to your truth that brings you this joy and this zest in life that only you will know. That's what calls to you, right? And so adding the celebration part is something that I would also go back and tell my 18-year-old self, because again, I had this unconscious need of more, or like, how do I achieve more? How do I achieve more? And that was part of an identity. However, right, realizing that when you celebrate it, you're bringing more joy, and then that energy will actually, there'll be more the law and things being pulled to you versus trying to like, just try to overpower or just try to outwork everyone type of thing.
Yeah, and that goes back to the complexity of the human being, where you need to balance all these different alter egos, right? If all you do is celebrate, then you're not going to have a good life. You're actually not going to have much to celebrate for. If all you are is the warrior, right? Like I have a big warrior side of me, right? But if all I am is the warrior 24 hours a day, I'm going to burn down my own village, right? If all I am is the lover, then my bank account's probably going to not be in good shape, because all I'm focused on is that one area. So you really have to have a balance of all these different areas to create a life of them. Okay, I know what that we're running low on time, but I have one last question that I ask all of our guests, and that is, what does disrupt mean to you?
Disrupt to me means changing the game, right? Thinking outside the box, like not being willing to just like being told this is the only way. I always share this with people, right? You're given an option, right? And you're given a second option. What is the third option? Because at times we feel like we only have these choices. But as entrepreneurs, as investors, as people creating out there, I would say, what is the third way? And that third way to me is creating disruption. Because living your life to your fullest of what makes you happy, joyous, impactful, disruption is maybe not following others, maybe listening to that intuition and cultivating that and growing that and trusting yourself and even taking a step that you might have been thinking about for a long time. And you might know in your gut that it's the right thing to do, but the opportunity just hasn't presented itself. Maybe even taking that step and recognizing that failure, what if failure is actually opportunity to grow? What if failure is actually lessons there for us to learn that actually takes us to that next level, that actually takes us to that next level in contribution, in making impact, making a difference in this world? So disruption is thinking of that third way to me.
Jay, thank you so much again for being on the show. If you want to follow you, connect with you on social media, what's the best place to do it?
Yeah, you can follow me at Twitter, JFlow, LIVE. And that's where I just share from my heart, essentially different mindsets and different ways of my perspective on the world and sharing to contribute. So thank you so much for this
Jay,
opportunity
thank you again for
to
being
share.
On the show, my friend.
Yeah, I'm very grateful.
Oh, it's a wrap.